readings are more and more making the choices clear. The first reading is all about idolatry. And worse than idolatry, you see, the idolatry of a ruler, of a king. That's my statue. You worship my statue. And they say, well, we can't do that. We only worship God. So he was so mad that he heated up the furnace, that some of his own men got killed trying to get the boys in there. And Nebuchadnezzar's face became livid with utter rage. Doesn't take much, does it? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, these three smart young Jewish boys who have brought into my court, especially Daniel, Shadrach, but now they defy me. They will not worship my statue. So kill them. Amazing, isn't it? I mean, doesn't this uncover for us so much potential why we need the grace of God? You know, I don't know if you saw it, but on the news last night, after there were the NCAA or whatever, the basketball championship was last night, and one team won and one team lost. I forgot. I think it was Connecticut that won. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you see what happened then? Now, who? They're the young, these are the college kids. Huh? These are the ones going to get an education and be the backbone of the country. And did you see what? You know, utter destruction. From where? It's weighed on me so much. You see what Satan can do? And these kids, they're out there, you know, turning over cars, smashing windows, in celebration of a basketball game. Now, what is driving those kids, you see? This is where you see the degradation of the culture and how it affects the youth. And so it's not the same as worshiping the statue, but it's in that same direction of utter chaos. It's this weight on me. I saw it last night. I woke up. It was still on my mind. These kids, slaves of utter chaos. And all their anger. What are they angry at? Three squares a day, parents who dote on them, getting an education. Why this destruction? You see, that's paganism. And we have to preach the gospel to those people. It's so this poor fellow, you got to worship my statue or I'll kill you. And then God saves them. Why would the church put that kind of a reading here? We're getting ready to have our sins purified, ready to, and then the people getting ready to be baptized. And we're ready to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Why would they give this text? To show us where we could be if it weren't for the grace of Christ. Dead and risen, radiant with the Father's life, pouring it out on us in the Holy Spirit. The gospel goes on, moves into chapter 8 now of John. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." One of my old professors did a 2-volume work on the concept of truth in the Gospel of John. I mean, 2 volumes like that. Father de la Poterie See, truth is the revelation of the Father. That's the truth. So you see with these kids, they don't know any truth. I don't know what their parents did, whether they shed any reflection of the truth in their homes. But now look at them. And that's just a symbol of where people are. And why are they so angry? Why do they want to destroy? What's driving them? You see, they don't know God is their Father. That's the problem. Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin, does what sin says. Not only sin, but Satan. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the Son frees you, then you will be truly free. Now do you know why we have to preach the gospel? I watched those 20-year-old kids last night overturning cars, drinking. Now those things that they're doing will remain as a scar in their memory for the rest of their life. Unless they come to know Christ, come to know forgiveness, and come to know the Father. Without that, that explosion, that sexual excess, that violence, that anger. And they're what? They're celebrating. That's a celebration. Now, who is going to preach the gospel to them? This is what happens to people when they don't know God the Father. This is this argument now between the Jews and Jesus. I tell you what I have seen in the Father's presence. Then do what you have heard from the Father. That's a different translation than from usual. They answered, our father is Abraham. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. We are God the Father's children. We have to be doing the works of our Father. What compassion for those people. There must have been a couple of thousand of them. I don't know if you saw this on the TV. But it was so dark. And they're plunging themselves more and more into darkness. And who's going to help them? How do they know? The love of the Father who sent his Son, all holy, infinitely beautiful, equal to him, to become man and die for us, to heal us. Well, we'd all be out there overturning cars and screaming and drinking. And what is in them that you would be have this release, celebrate a basketball game by such violence, you see. Now Jesus' point is, as he says in the last line here, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I did not come on my own. He sent me. Now listen, that is the infinite, eternal Son of God saying, the Father sent me. Do you see that? Love, submission, obedience. The Father sent me. There's the way to peace.